Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap radio network. What a joy it is to be able to be with you today, no matter where you might be. Along with David Kistler, I am Gary Dull, and we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. We want to encourage you to continue to pray for Sam Rohr, who is over in Ukraine right now. He is there working with the Ukrainians who would like to have a nation like the United States of America was. That is, a constitution that's based upon the biblical basis and the Judeo-Christian ethic. And so we would encourage you to continue to pray for him. And our friend and co-worker, Dale Armstrong, along with David Barton, who are over there even as we speak at a banquet, offering some awards to those who wrote essays on the biblical basis of a constitution. And so we'll be hearing more about all of that next week when Sam's back. Also, we want to remind you, or we want to mention to you, that the breaking news is that at 10 minutes past 12, Eastern time, which is 4 minutes from now, 3.5 minutes from now, Vice President Joe Biden is going to be making some sort of an announcement in the Rose Garden. We are going to be monitoring that. Undoubtedly, Dave, it may indicate that he's going to make a statement regarding running for the presidency, or he could sing, "I Come to the Garden Alone While the Dew Is Still on the Roses."
Gary, you're not right. Listen, I'll be honest with you. What I think he's going to do, Gary, from everything I've been hearing is, and I don't think he would have chosen the Rose Garden were this not the case, I think he's going to make an announcement to run. And there's been some things that have come across my desk, so to speak, this morning relative to what the president may be trying to do surreptitiously and undercover to try to disrupt the Hillary Clinton campaign. And so the Rose Garden being chosen as the location for this announcement, whatever it is, I just think it's going to be an announcement that he's going to throw his hat into the ring. He's probably going to run.
Well, it seems as though in the last couple of days he's been sort of laying the foundation for that. You know, yesterday he said that he spends 4 to 7 hours a day with the president and attends every meeting with the president at his request. And I kind of think that by saying that, Biden is laying the foundation for a third term of Barack Obama, which means if he does run and our nation votes him in, that says a lot about the United States of America, David.
Well, Gary, again, I'll word it this way. If Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and those individuals are the best the Democratic Party can put up, we've got a problem in America. I mean, yeah. Joe Biden is not just a gaff machine. He is not someone I would ever be able to put any confidence in as a commander-in-chief. So, Gary, yeah, it's troubling. It's troubling that this is the best they have to offer. Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the equation, there are some good choices this time for which I'm very thankful.
And, you know, you and I have a friend in Washington, D.C., who says that Joe Biden is one of the nicest men on Capitol Hill. I don't necessarily share that particular opinion. I've met Joe on a couple of occasions and sort of disagree with it. But there are a lot of people that like him, and that's why he's referred to as Uncle Joe, I guess. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be watching this for you, and if anything comes up, we'll let you know. However, before we run out of time in this segment, we want to talk a little bit about what's going on down at the Alabama Supreme Court under the direction of Pastor Floyd. And Dave, why don't you just set this up for us and allow Pastor Floyd to speak? We've got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, Gary, Pastor David Floyd is the pastor of Marvin Parkway Baptist Church in Opelika, Alabama. I'm privileged to minister here this week and just really have connected in a great way with him. We're kindred spirits in so many ways, and I can't wait, Gary, for you to meet him at some point. But he is the one who initiated this Bible study time at the Alabama Supreme Court. It's an amazing, amazing thing, and I'm just going to let him take about a minute or two to explain to our listening audience how that all came about and what a wonderful opportunity that is, and use it as a challenge for other pastors who listen to this program to step up to the plate. Don't think you can't do these kind of things, because you can. Pastor Floyd, welcome to our Stand in the Gap radio audience. Thank you, Brother Dave. It's good to be with you today, and I count it real honor to be on the program. About 2 years ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, you could really go back 2003 when Judge Moore was going through the Ten Commandment monument situation. We met some people. Brother Franklin Radish was one of them that we got involved in the ministry that he has. And he had it on his heart here within the last 3 or 4 years to start Bible studies in all the capitals of the United States of America, and called us and asked us if we'd be willing to help him in Alabama. And so we were. We actually got into the legislative building, the State House in Alabama, and after about 3 weeks or 4 weeks, they threw us out. And then contact was made with Brother Rich Hobson down at the judicial building. He said, well, come on down here. We love the Lord. And so we went down to the judicial building, Alabama Supreme Court building, and we've been there now for almost 2 years, maybe a little bit over, and holding the Bible study from 12 to 12:30, and count that a real honor to do that. We certainly know that these who are in high office or in even lower offices need our prayers and need us to stand with them, and certainly we want to do that. Chief Justice Moore, Justice Tom Parker, and I think many of the others on the Alabama Supreme Court have really taken a stand, and today they may be trying to determine and make, come to an opinion on the same-sex marriage license issuance in Alabama, and making an opinion ruling that that the probate judges of Alabama do not have to do that, and I certainly pray that they will come to that decision. We know several probate judges in the state of Alabama, Judge Allie Davis in Clark County, Judge Wes Allen in Pike County, and about 7 to maybe 8 other counties that are not issuing licenses at all. And we certainly thank the Lord for these men and women that are holding biblical standards in our day and time, and we praise the Lord for them. And ask your listeners to pray for these probate judges and all those who are making these decisions in these hours, this hour.
Gary, one of the amazing things is Pastor Floyd has done a phenomenal job just in the course of a week, periodically from time to time stopping in and seeing some of these judges, just to encourage them, to pray with them. And the 2 times that I've spoken at the Alabama Court, a year ago and then this year, and I'll be back again next week just attending the session, hopefully going to listen to Pastor Floyd as he speaks and conducts the Bible study next week. But the bottom line is this: he has cultivated a phenomenal relationship with these folks. You can see the intense respect that they have for him. And even yesterday there was a really interesting question that was asked that I'll not go into by one of the assistants to Judge Moore of Pastor Floyd and the preachers, you know, that were standing there in the room, just to give an opinion. What did we think about something? So, Gary, this is the kind of thing that we at the American Pastors Network have been encouraging for so long, for pastors to step up, get involved in the process. These people that work within the judicial system, work within the legislative bodies of various states, many of them do love the Lord, and they're reaching out to folks like this and like us, and it's a beyond encouraging thing, Gary. Absolutely amazing.
Well, it is, and of course, we've talked for years about how significant it is for pastors to build relationships with those in government. And Pastor David Floyd, we appreciate very much what you're doing down there with the Alabama Supreme Court. And other pastors, we encourage you to build relationships with those who are ministers in government, according to Romans chapter 13, ministers of God for the good in government. Well, when we come back, we're going to have with us once again Dr. Jimmy DeYoung of Prophecy Today. My, a lot of things taking place over in the Middle East, and I'm sure that Dr. DeYoung will set us all straight about what's happening. So don't go away. We'll be back right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, October 21st, 1805, in one of the greatest naval battles in history, British Admiral Horatio Nelson defeated the combined Spanish and French fleets in the Battle of Trafalgar off the coast of Spain. This ended Napoleon's power on the sea. The cannonades and musket shot ripped apart the ships at point-blank range, killing or wounding nearly 10,000 men. In the fighting that ensued, Admiral Nelson was fatally shot in the spine. He was carried below deck to the ship's surgeon, where he died. His last words were, "Thank God I have done my duty."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
This new Common Core assignment, I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, and we encourage you not only to listen to us here on the radio, but go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and I encourage you to do that because at that particular site, you can correspond with us, and we appreciate you when you do that, and so we encourage you to do that as well. As I mentioned before we went into the break, We have Dr. Jimmy DeYoung with us today once again from Prophecy Today, and we're going to go to him in just a moment. But we are also monitoring what is going on in the Rose Garden down in Washington, D.C., because Vice President Joe Biden is there making some kind of an announcement saying that he's either going to run for the presidency or not going to run for the presidency. At least that's what we speculate. That's why he's down there making this announcement. Dave, do you have any particular insight to share at this point before we go to Jimmy?
Well, Gary, let me tell you what the backdrop looks like. There's not been any announcement made yet. The vice president is standing with the president off his right shoulder, his wife Jill, Dr. Jill Biden, off his left shoulder. He's standing behind the podium with the presidential seal on the front, and he is speaking. And as of yet, he has not actually made a statement, at least that I can tell, that indicating whether he's going to run or not. But I guess he's leading up to that. Typically, you know, they'll talk a little bit and then make their announcement. But the president's there in tow, so this is something significant. Otherwise, it wouldn't be this setting with the president there and his wife there.
Has he made any gaffes to indicate that he may not know where he is?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. Well, keep us informed. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, we know that you do not make gaffes, and you always know where you are. Welcome back to Stand in the Gap today, my friend.
Well, I'm greatly honored to be able to be with you guys. What I love about this program is you guys are right on the story as it is happening. Boy, you cannot beat that. That is absolute top journalistic capabilities that you guys have. And let me just say this, Gary, before we get started. Had a great time. You guys promoted the High Point Baptist Chapel appearance that I had this last Sunday. The church was packed. We had a marvelous time of study of God's prophetic word. Now, of course, Sam was gone. He was on his way to the Ukraine, but Ruth Ann, his precious wife, came. And we had a couple of times this last week. We went over to Sam and Ruth Ann's home for dinner on last Tuesday, and then on Friday we got together at a lovely restaurant there in the area. He gave me the vision for you guys and Stand to the Gap, and part of it is being on top of the story as much as anybody can possibly be.
Well, we knew that you were getting together with Sam and Ruth Ann, and we are sorry we missed that time of fellowship ourselves, but we're glad that you had that opportunity to meet with them. And I guess we can officially say that, Jimmy, you've agreed to fill in for Dave, Sam, and I when we are out of town from time to time. That doesn't usually happen a lot where all three of us are away, but such a time is coming up in the month of November, and you've agreed to fill in for us.
You know
what?
I'm
not sure. Announcement. What's that?
I'm not sure that my feet are going to fit into those shoes, but we'll endeavor to get me something to let me fit those shoes that you guys have set. What a privilege and honor when Sam asked me to do that. I was just thrilled for the request by you guys. I mean, you guys do a top-drawer job, and I'm honored that you're going to allow me to do that.
Well, we're honored that you're willing to do it for us, and to God be the glory. So many things to talk about today, Jimmy, but, you know, I think that probably as it relates to the Middle East, the biggest thing is the idea that yesterday Syrian President Bashar al-Assad flew to Moscow to have a meeting with Vladimir Putin to personally thank him for his military support and, you know, in Syria. And this was a surprise visit by most of the people in the world, I guess. It's interesting to know or to note what Assad said, and I want to read his statement. He says this as he was speaking to Putin. He said, "First of all, I want to express my huge gratitude to the whole leadership of the Russian Federation for the help they are giving Syria. If it was not for your actions and your decisions, the terrorism which is spreading in the region would have swallowed up a much greater area and spread over an even greater territory." Those are the words of President Assad in speaking with Putin yesterday. Jimmy, what is your take on this? Do you see something developing there that is beyond our eyesight?
Boy, this is very, very significant, Gary, in my opinion. A surprise visit by Bashar Assad to Moscow to meet with Vladimir Putin. They are both the leaders of two major players in an end-time scenario that is found in God's Word, i.e. the book of Ezekiel. It is amazing that these men got together. We'd have to go back and realize that when Vladimir Putin gave the command to his military operation to move into Syria and to basically prop up Bashar Assad, that was very significant. When the Iranian Revolutionary Guard joined the Russian soldiers, the Russian aircraft that were in the skies guarding the airspace over Syria, that was another additional bit of information that helped us recognize we're better seeing in focus Ezekiel 38. So you have these three major players. You have Russia, you have Iran, you have Syria. When you go to the Word of God, you look, Russia is Ezekiel 38:2. Over in the book of Psalm 83, Iran is mentioned, and when you go to Daniel chapter 11, and those are the three passages of Scripture that talk about that end-time scenario that we're discussing, you'll find Syria is the king of the north in chapter 11, verse 40. Those are the three main players, and in fact, the reason I say main players is because Russia, Magog, is going to be the leader of this coalition of nations that align themselves against the Jewish state. Iran will assist in becoming a basic foundational undergirding for all that's going to happen in the Middle East with what they're doing. And the first nation to make a move against Israel has to be Syria, Daniel 11, verse 40. And it's talking about the king of the north, and early on in chapter 11, verse 5, it describes the king of the north as geographically modern-day Syria. And so when you have Bashar Assad in Moscow meeting with Vladimir Putin, you are saying, wow, pay attention, folks. Look at what God's Word predicted some 2,500 years ago. See how it is coming to pass, almost complete fulfillment, even as we're still here on the earth. But remember, the rapture has to take place before it will be completely fulfilled. I would say that's how close we are to the rapture.
Brother Jimmy, this is Dave. And again, I want to echo what Gary said earlier, how much we appreciate you and, of course, your willingness here shortly to take this program and co-host it or host it in our absence. But we love having you on because you're always on top of all the things going on in the Middle East. I want to ask you a question about a recently released five-page article. It was circulated by six Arab states that basically blamed Israel for both past and present violence in the region. And they basically were suggesting that somehow, some way, the nation of Israel was attempting to change what they called the quote-unquote status quo of the relationship between Israel and the Muslim people relative to the Temple Mount. Could you talk about that a little bit? And is there some attempt to change the nature of the way things are currently being operated up on the Temple Mount?
Absolutely not by the Israelis. But if you're asking me if the Palestinians and the Arab world, the Muslim world, are endeavoring to try to change the status quo, the answer has to be yes. They're doing everything they possibly can to keep the Jewish people from coming on to the most sacred piece of real estate in all of creation. If you go back in the times of King David, he paid cash money for Mount Moriah. He gave it to Ornan the Jebusite. Ornan wanted to give it to him free. He said, no, I'm not going to offer sacrifice on a piece of real estate that I don't pay for. He paid cash money. And so 3,000 years ago, that piece of real estate, sacred to the Jewish people, sacred to the Christian people, and just thirdly sacred as far as the Muslim world is concerned, was bought by the Jewish king, King David. But when we talk about status quo, we're talking about a meeting between Israel and Jordan. King Abdullah, Prime Minister Netanyahu, got together. They set the status quo. They said, this is the situation. This is how it's going to be. And Israel has not done one single thing to change that status quo. They are allowing the Jews to go up. They do not allow them to pray up there. That's the status quo. That's the agreement between Israel and Jordan. And remember, Jordan in 1967 was given the opportunity of becoming the custodial responsible for what's going on the Temple Mount. So the status quo by Israel has not been changed.
Well, the status quo by Israel has not been changed, but I'll tell you what, these are interesting days in which to live, and we're going to continue our discussion with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. David, in 15 seconds, is Joe running or not?
Gary, I'm stunned, but he is not running. He said his time has passed, the Malisirius campaign, and he is not running.
So you heard it first, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Stand in the Gap today, that Vice President Joe Biden is not running for the presidency of the United States of America. More to come on that, too, I'm sure. We'll be back right after these messages.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Vice President Joe Biden says he will not be running for the Democrats' presidential nomination, announcing his decision next to President Obama and his wife Jill at the White House. He says the grieving process after his son Beau's death affected his decision.
I've said all along what I've said time and again to others, that it may very well be that that process, by the time we get through it, closes the window on mounting a realistic campaign for president, that it might close. I've concluded it has closed.
But he says he'll be vocal during the 2016 presidential campaign and that Democrats should be defending and running on President Obama's record. But again, Vice President Biden will not be running for president himself. This is a Fox News alert.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
I give these gospels to people who are homeless or are working in stores, and I also leave a gospel at the doctor's office or barber shop, anywhere they have stuff for people to read. It's nice to see that someone has picked the gospel up and taken it with them, and then I leave another.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
Oh, and when I get gas, I leave one on top of the pump. I've left some at a few payphones, too.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, you heard us announce it that Vice President Joe Biden is not going to be running for the presidency of the United States of America. And I'm certain that that's going to open the flood doors of discussion and information that we will no doubt be sharing with you as the days and the weeks come on in front of us. And so you'll want to stay tuned to Stand in the Gap as we talk about this matter with the presidential election. But we are delighted to have with us Dr. Jimmy DeYoung again today, as he is with us about every other week. He, of course, has his own program called Prophecy Today. And, Jimmy, there are so many things to talk about. And before we went into the break, you talked about the sacredness of the Temple Mount area there in Jerusalem and how important it is to the Jewish people. Question I have for you, sir, is that is it true that a certain Jewish rabbi in Jerusalem is calling for the Jews to actually ascend the Temple Mount in preparation for the next temple to be built?
That is absolutely correct. We're talking about Yehuda Glick. Now, you might remember that name. He was the one, an assassination attempt against his life took place when he was speaking in Jerusalem a couple of months back. He survived that attack, and he had been the original executive director of the Temple Institute. The Temple Institute is the group that are putting everything together. They're the ones training the 28,000 men who claim to be a part of the tribe of Levi, the family of the Kohanim, the priestly families, and they're the one training them. They're making all of the implements that will be in operation in the temple, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the menorah. They took a while to get the menorah ready. It is now on display in the area of the Western Wall Plaza. Took about 100 pounds of pure gold. I'm talking about 100 pounds of pure gold to put that together. And Yehuda Glick was the man responsible for leading that under the direction, of course, of Israel Ariel, who was the president of the Temple Institute, along with Rabbi Chaim Richman. But Rabbi Yehuda Glick decided that, hey, he had finished his job there at the Temple Institute, and he started another organization with the focus of the Jewish people going up onto the Temple Mount. In fact, in my five-minute daily broadcast that is heard across the nation, I yesterday was talking about Yehuda Glick, who has made the statement, don't go any longer to the Western Wall. You see, that Western Wall, many people, Gary, believe that that's a part of the previous temples that stood there, Herod's temple, dating back to the times of Christ. It was not. It was a retaining wall that Herod used about 10,000 Jews to build there to keep the Temple Mount area, Mount Moriah, from actually sliding down into the Kidron Valley. You have a eastern retaining wall, a southern retaining wall, and a western retaining wall. And the western retaining wall is where the Jews go now to pray. And many years they've been doing that since they first had an opportunity to get there. Before 1967, they just had a very little small space. Now, after the Six-Day War, when Israel took the control of the Temple Mount, and then, crazily, I don't know why they did it, gave custodial responsibilities to Jordan, to the Muslim world, to control the Temple Mount. They've had an open space there in the Western Wall Plaza. But the rabbi says, look, you got to quit doing that. We got to quit focusing on that retaining wall. We've got to focus on the Temple Mount. We want to go up on the Temple Mount. So he's doing everything he possibly can to get every Jew possible to go up on the Temple Mount. Now, they're restricted if they go up there to pray. But I want to tell you something, folks. You don't have to close your eyes to pray. You don't have to bow down to pray. You can just walk around praying in your mind, and nobody knows what you're doing. So that's exactly what they're doing there. And Yehuda Glick, really the one responsible for that. He's a good friend. He's on my DVD documentary, Ready to Rebuild, Revisited, which is a documentary on the preparations to build the next temple. And he's just an outstanding Jewish leader among those Jews who want to put the temple up in the near future.
Dr. Jimmy, would you mind just taking a few minutes and speaking to this? A lot of people look at that Dome of the Rock, the Mosque of Omar, it's called, up on the Temple Mount and assume that that is actually a mosque. Technically, though it's commonly called the Mosque of Omar, it's really not a mosque. It's a shrine. It's a sacred shrine. But there is a little bit, I think it is to the southern end of the Temple Mount, there is this Al-Aqsa Mosque. Could you talk a little bit about that and about the difficulties that are posed by that mosque being there, as well as that sacred shrine called the Dome of the Rock?
You know, Dave, you're right on target, buddy, with that information. 691 A.D. is when Omar came into Jerusalem to put that Dome of the Rock up. And he did it for several reasons. First reason was that about 632 A.D., Omar was watching this young man who was establishing the Islamic faith, Muhammad. Muhammad rode his horse from Saudi Arabia all the way over to Jerusalem. By the way, the name of his horse was Barak. And he got there on this horse ride, and he then, by the way, Al-Aqsa meaning the farthest distance away from Mecca and Medina. And then he stepped off of that foundation stone because both the Jews and the Muslims believe that is the original site of the Garden of Eden. And by tradition, Muhammad went into the seventh heaven to meet with Allah. Now, there are even, I say by tradition, there are even some Islamic scholars who do not believe that was the case. That's the first reason that Omar built that Dome of the Rock there. Second reason, as you say, it was a commemorative building, not only for Muhammad, but for the Jewish people and the fact that they did have a temple there. Helena, Constantine's mother, in 323 A.D. came in. She selected all the holy sites through signs, wonders, and miracles. She knew that that was the location of the temple, so she made it the city dump, and the ladies would carry all of their trash and put it on the spot, which was the Holy of Holies. She then, in the opposite direction from where the Dome of the Rock is located, said that's the place of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's referred to today as the Holy Sepulchre. If you compare the architecture between the two, they are exactly the same. And so what Omar was doing was appeasing the Jews and saying, hey, look, I'm going to clean this spot up. We'll realize it's sacred to you Jewish people as well it is to us as Muslims, and I'll put this dome over there so nobody can continue to use it as a city dump. Now, you're right. To the south of that is a pewter dome building, and that's called Al-Aqsa Mosque. That's the only mosque on the Temple Mount. It was actually the Knights Templar Church that was built until Saladin came in and he was able to defeat the Crusaders up there in the horns of Hattin there in the northern part of Israel. And then he came into Jerusalem. He put Jerusalem as part of the House of Islam. And, of course, that doctrine in the Islamic faith means nobody else can have an opportunity to really control that piece of real estate, albeit he put it all over the city of Jerusalem, and the Jews are in the face of Allah today. They're prospering in the city of Jerusalem. That's the history of it, and it does date back for the two Jewish temples, Solomon's Temple 3,000 years ago, and then Zerubbabel 2,500 years ago actually is the one who built the second temple, Ezra chapters 1 to 6, and when Herod came to power, he refurbished it. John chapter 2 says 46 years in the refurbishing, made it the most beautiful building in the world. In fact, the rabbi said if you had never seen Herod's temple, you had never seen a beautiful building. But as Jesus predicted in 70 A.D., the Romans tore it down, destroyed it, a fulfillment of prophecy, Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. And so that's somewhat of the history there. It is sacred to the Jewish people, albeit the Israeli government, and I've got to remind everybody, David and Gary, the Israeli government is not changing the status quo. They're willing to live and coexist as it relates to the Temple Mount. Ultimately, there's a group of Jews who do not want to do that, but they're abiding by their nation's laws at this point in time.
Well, Jimmy, you know, you are filled with great information, and you share things with our listeners that I'm sure that is very educational to all of them, and including myself and Dave. Our time is just about up here, but I want to throw a question out to you. Is it possible that the Gog of Ezekiel 38 and 39 could be Vladimir Putin?
As of today, Gary, I would say that is the case. Now, that may not be the case next week, but Gog in Ezekiel 38 is the person. Magog is the place. And so if I had to give an absolute answer as of today, this day now, I would say Vladimir Putin is the Gog of Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 2. Now, that could change from moment to moment. It could be different tomorrow, next week, whatever. But today, that would be the case because he's the one that's controlling Magog, who's the major player with Iran and Syria. Again, we cannot quit saying that is such a significant thing that's happening in the Middle East. The body of Christ had better wake up to it, even if you've never studied Bible prophecy. You've got to understand this is the prophetic scenario laid out in God's Word. It will be fulfilled.
Well, that's interesting. Thank you. As a matter of fact, when you read down through Ezekiel 38, Jimmy, I think there's four or five similarities between Gog and what Vladimir Putin is doing in our current time. So that's why I asked that question, and I appreciate your insight. Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, thank you very much for being with us today. God bless you as you continue in your ministry.
Thank you, sir. Keep looking up. The rapture could happen today.
Amen. Sounds good to me. We'll be back right after this, ladies and gentlemen.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
In Isaiah chapter 31, the prophet says, "Woe to them who trust in horses and chariots and military strength to defend them when evil arises and war is in the air." Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. As Russia invades the Middle East, over 100 conflicts are raging around the world, Israel is under siege, and America is continually threatened by its enemies, Isaiah's advice for Israel then is God's warning for us today. The strength of horses will fail. Military equipment will fail. The great armies of the world will fail. When God, the King of Kings, comes to judge with righteousness, all human strength will fail. The warning is clear. If we put our trust in man and machines, we'll lose. The promise is also clear. If we put our trust in Him, He'll be our unfailing strength and shield. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network saying, don't trust in man and lose. Trust in God and win.
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, David, you know, in our off-air correspondence here, you just asked me a question. Where do you want to go? You wise guy. There are so many things taking place even as we speak. And, of course, we've talked about the fact that, you know, it could very well be that, as Jimmy DeYoung said, as of today, Vladimir Putin could be the Gog of Israel, of Ezekiel 38. We announced that Joe Biden is not running for the presidency of the United States of America. That's going to open up a whole lot of discussion, I'm sure. And I can imagine, Dave, that Hillary Clinton has a sigh of relief coming from her innards. I can imagine that she is a bit fearful and stressful today anyway, though, you know, in light of the fact that she's going to be before Trey Gowdy's committee tomorrow. That'll be interesting to watch and see how that all works out. But let's shift gears a little bit here. We'll stay in Washington, but it's interesting to follow what's going on with the Speaker of the House situation, Dave. You know, there's been a push to get Paul Ryan to run for that particular position. But I'll tell you what, he's setting up some conditions. He's saying that I will run, but I am not going to give up my family time. I've got young kids I want to spend time with. I will not travel as much as some of the other speakers have done because of my family. I will promote the GOP vision very, very hard, as hard as I can, but don't expect me to be away from my family. He also said that he will delegate authority to others within the caucus to help with fundraising, because remember, fundraising is one of the biggest responsibilities of the speaker. And then, David, he wants 100% commitment from all of the Republican congressmen to stand behind him. You know, on one hand, you've got to ask the question, does he really want the job? Of course, I know he probably doesn't. But is he going to be able to get these particular conditions established, do you think?
Well, Gary, I don't think he really wants the job either. Now, again, I was wrong this morning already. I thought Joe Biden was going to announce that he was going to run. I mean, all the indicators looked that direction. Of course, he chose not to. So we could be totally wrong on this. But, Gary, I concur with you. I don't think that Paul Ryan really wants this job. All of the things you just read, the first four of them, I would agree with 100%. I wouldn't want anything to take me away from my family, even if it was the Speaker of the House position. I would support the goals of the Republican Party if those objectives are decent and right and constitutional and certainly moral. I am for all those things that that Paul Ryan has put in there. But the problem, Gary, is this. When he says he wants 100% support from the GOP caucus, part of that, Gary, is this, and that is the elimination of this, and I'm going to use the technical term, this motion to vacate the chair. What happened was, you know, our dear congressman from North Carolina, Mark Meadows, was really one of the spearheaders behind this, and they brought up this motion to vacate the chair. It had not been used in many a decade, but they did use it, and it is there, and it was what forced John Boehner out. If to become the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan wants to do away with that motion, Gary, I would be completely, unequivocally opposed to that. That is a mechanism that is in place to do exactly what it did and did well with respect to John Boehner. Get out of there a guy that does not to be in the speakership. So if that's what Paul Ryan wants, I am not in favor of him being speaker, if that's what it's going to take, that one thing to get him.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who really at least have expressed the fact that they're not in favor of him being the speaker. Many people think that he's a rhino, that is Republican in name only. You got Dan Webster down there from Florida, who I guess he still has his hat in the ring, saying that he would like to run for the position. And I just kind of think, and as I understand it, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, I think Friday is the deadline on all of these conditions that Paul Ryan has placed before the caucus. I kind of think that we're going to come to next Monday and still not have a speaker.
Well, Gary, you may be a prophet when it comes to that, but yes, Friday is the deadline, and the Freedom Caucus, as they're called, that's that extremely conservative group, extremely constitutionally committed group. Mark Meadows being one of the key components in that Freedom Caucus. Gary, I don't think there's any way possible, there's no way under the sun, they're ever going to agree to do away with the motion to vacate the chair component. They're never going to agree to do that. So if that's what Paul Ryan wants, he will not get the full support of the Freedom Caucus, which means this, he's not going to be Speaker of the House. So I think we may well arrive on Monday without a speaker at that point. Gary, I'm not saying this is my final word on this, but thus far, of the people whose names have been mentioned, the guy that I do like the best thus far is Daniel Webster. He did a phenomenal job as Speaker of the House in the state of Florida. He got all of the GOP caucus involved. He exerted enough leadership that it wasn't chaos by any means in the Florida House. And there are many that are very attracted to him because they think he can bring a unifying element and some of the authority of the individual House members back to the forefront rather than just them being slapped around and told to go back to their sandbox and play while John Boehner and the other leadership in the GOP just made all the decisions. So there is a strong, strong attraction to Daniel Webster. And to be honest with you, I like what I see of him. He is a strong constitutionalist. He is just appears to be a super, super guy.
Well, you know, when we had Tom DeLay on here a couple of weeks ago, he said that folks would never vote for Dan Webster because of the fact that he's not been around all that long. However,
his stock is growing, Gary. His stock is growing. I understand what Tom DeLay said, but his stock has grown since then.
Yeah, and in agreement with what you said, you know, it could very well be that he may become the Speaker of the House by default. I mean, you know, unless here again there are two other scenarios. Number one, that John Boehner would stay in there. And, or, number two, they would go outside of the House to get somebody else to come in to be Speaker, because as we've said on this program before, you do not have to be a member of the House of Representatives in Washington to be the Speaker of the House. So that could be a situation that would be interesting to follow.
Well, Gary, it would, and the bottom line is this: John Boehner's in there until somebody replaces him.
That's right.
His agreement was, I will remain Speaker until another Speaker is procured or secured. So until someone else goes into that position, John Boehner is the Speaker of the House. And Gary, here's the frightening thing: there is a little bit of urgency to this. John Boehner can do a lot of damage. He can continue to operate the way he has operated until some other Speaker fills that spot and that position. So. You know, we're doing basically right now, the House is doing what it's been doing for a long time, and that's under the domain of John Boehner, which is not good.
I suggest Dave Kistler be our next Speaker of the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C.
Gary, I'm honored, but I tell you what, I'm deferring to you. I've already cast my ballot in your direction, and I've conducted a campaign to get you to be the next Speaker.
Yes, and I've thrown that ballot back. Anyways,
Jimmy DeYoung, why don't we get Jimmy DeYoung to be the next Speaker?
Yeah, Jimmy DeYoung could do it. There you go. I'm with that. Maybe Sam Rohr, he's out of town, so let's nominate him while he's out of town. How does that sound? He's out of the country.
I'm for it. That sounds like a win.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. That is so important these days. Exciting times. Pray for our world. Until tomorrow, on behalf of Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.